Hey, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. This is the after show. It's still the 3rd of October, 2021. And had an interesting message this morning. It was interesting for me, if nobody else out there. A little bit different than what I do on a Sunday morning. Watched a couple movies yesterday, and I'm struck by how much man yearns for glory, yearns for honor, yearns for a righteous battle. And yet we do that in 2021 by watching movies vicariously and not through our own heroic acts. And I did a video about a year ago, a little over a year ago now, on the Judgment Day. And it turns out that the heroic acts that men do really are the simple things that we do every day. It's a heroic act to be a mother. It's a heroic act to be a father. It's a heroic act to give your lives and lay down your lives for other people. It's not easy to be a father. It's not easy to be a parent. It's not easy to be a mother and live your life for the welfare of others. And the heroism is in the little decisions. The heroism is in who you serve. You live for yourself. You live for your children. You live for your family. You live for your God. And the honor and the glory so often comes in the things that we can't see or can't even imagine. We are taught from our movies that to be heroic and great, you have to do these mighty things. Be a warrior. And so we live vicariously through them. We live through watching a James Bond movie. Who doesn't, what young man doesn't want to be a James Bond? Or the war movies, the great heroes of fighting battles. And yet so much of life is mundane. We don't see it. We don't think about it. And unfortunately, too many good young men and good young women reject it for fortune and fame that they think they have in the eyes of the world. And it's nothing. It's fleeting. It's trash. And the honor and the glory are in the little things that you sacrifice for that nobody else sees. To be a good father, to be a good mother, to raise a family, to live for them. And that puts you in good stead on the judgment day. And I'm reminded of the Lord of the Rings movies. And who are the heroes of the movies? It's the hobbits, these little people that are just kind of naive and kind of innocent and not very strong and not super smart. And they're the innocent ones trying to struggle and make their way through it. And yet there's forces behind the scenes that nobody can see. In the movie, you can see it. You've got the different characters that come out and supporting and attacking for them or against them. In this great battle that we see in the movie, and it's glorious. It's phenomenal. And I would say that in this life, this is probably the author's intention, you and I are those hobbits. Who are we? We're not a lot. But behind the scenes that we can't see, there's forces at work for us and against us. There's mighty forces at work for us and against us. And everybody's waiting to see what the hobbits are going to do. And that is another thing that we don't see, that we must understand. We live by faith. What are the humans going to do? What are people going to do? What's mankind going to do? What is the church of Jesus Christ going to do? What are the chosen people of God going to do? The chosen people of God are those in Jesus Christ. There is no other chosen people of God. Those who have rejected him are the Antichrist. Those who fight against him and his people and his church are the seed of the serpent. What are the chosen people going to do? What are the people in Jesus Christ going to do? They're going to go to the right. They're going to go to the left. Are they going to sacrifice? Are they going to look for the easy way out? What are they going to do? And all the forces that we don't see, the good forces and the bad forces, are there waiting in the background for hell or heaven to be unleashed, depending on what the church does. It's good that God has a plan. It's good that the Savior has a plan. But, you know, the Savior can only come and speak to men and say, hey, this is what I want you to do. And it's up to the men to do those things. And if the men do those things, heaven moves. Men don't do things, heaven doesn't move. Gideon's living his life. God taps him on the shoulder, says, hey, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go do this. Gideon's like, me? And God's like, yeah, you. And so Gideon makes a little decision. It's a momentous decision. Turns out it's a momentous decision, but maybe you don't perceive it at that moment. And Gideon goes out and he tears down his father's idols, chops up the ashram, builds an altar to his God, sacrifices a bull on there. And that unleashed heavenly forces to move. It unleashed the forces of heaven to move. On his behalf, on behalf of the people of Israel. Later on in the story, we find that there's an invasion. Gideon, through an act of bravery, said, okay, rally to me. We're going to figure this out. I don't know that he had a plan. Don't know that he had a plan at all. I don't think he had a plan. But he made a small decision, and he moved. And then the forces of evil were coming in. So when Gideon moved, he made a decision, and the forces of heaven start moving. And men came to him, and God gave him a plan. He says, we've got to whittle this down. Got too many people. Whittled it down from 30,000 to 300. And he made little decisions. He snuck into the camp of the enemy, heard what they were saying, and they told the men to surround the camp. We're going to blow our horns and light up our torches. Utter panic and confusion reigned in the camp of the enemy, so much so that they began to slaughter each other. There was force at move behind the scenes that Gideon could not see, that the 300 could not see, that the 30,000 could not see. There was forces of heaven and hell at work that nobody could see. But men, the hobbits responded. The little men responded. Gideon wasn't much. He knew it. He said it. Yet when he moved, the forces in heaven and hell also moved. And we see with Gideon, there was a mighty victory. And as I look out across Western Europe, Christendom, all the children of Christendom, you just go, how is this even possible? How is this even possible to win with what we're doing? I mean, there, the forces of darkness are two steps ahead of us. And you think you got an organization, and next thing you know, it's infiltrated. How do you beat this? How do you win? They own every single institution out there. The educational system, the press, the military, the police, the intelligence, the universities, educational system, and the churches. They own the churches too. Don't make no mistake about it. I wander around this city. It's full of churches that are flying the homosexual flag. They don't know God. God's a social program to them. And you go, how does this work? I don't know. But I know what I read and I see in scriptures. And I also know that God can put it in front of our faces if we're only willing to look and see. You go look at the movie Lord of the Rings, and you see you got the little hobbits. They don't know what the heck they're doing. But their decisions made all the difference in the world. Gideon didn't know what he was doing, but his decisions unleashed heavenly forces that nobody could see. And God brought utter confusion and destruction to the camp of the enemy. Many times in the Bible, you've had the people of God, who today are Christians. They are Christians. That's it. There is no other chosen race. And those in Jesus Christ are the chosen race. We are the chosen race. There is no other chosen race. Those in Jesus Christ are of the chosen blood. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We are the people of God. There is no other people of God. It's those of Jesus Christ, those baptized into Jesus Christ, those covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the holy nation. There is no other holy nation. And as we make decisions to respond when God calls, forces are unleashed behind us that we can't even see or comprehend. So the enemy invaded that land. Gideon didn't even have to raise a sword on that first fight, on that first battle. He would go down later, he'd bring the sword, and he'd utterly slaughter the enemy. Then he had a few more internal enemies to deal with. It's part of the deal, man. It's part of the deal. It's going to be external and internal enemies, external issues and internal issues to deal with. But God brought utter confusion to the enemy, and they begin to slaughter each other. Are we not set up today in 2021 all around the world for the enemy to be brought into utter confusion? Utter confusion, so that they even slaughter and slay each other. I think we are. I think we are in that situation. I have no doubt that God can do that. And I think he's out there calling. He's tapping men on the shoulder, young men, older men, women, by the tens of thousands, saying, hey, do this, hey, do that. And what they do or what they say may have no immediate, direct repercussions on the forces of the enemy that we can see. Gideon goes out, he does a little thing with the dad's altar, boom, the world changes. But he couldn't see that, he couldn't know that. So keep doing the little things. Keep doing the small things, the mundane things that nobody knows about, that nobody sees, that you're called to do. And let God unleash his holy terror on the enemy, to destroy them, to confuse them, to cause them to fight against each other. We're in for a historical time. We're in a historical time. And I know there's many people who just want to curl up into a fetal position and cry and hope it all, the bad dream goes away when they wake up. They're looking for a knight on a white horse that's going to come and save them. And it's going to be hand-to-hand combat in a spiritual sense. It's going to be millions of us that are the people of God that are making our decisions, small little decisions every single day, to do the things that he's called us to do. I don't know what he's called you to do. I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do, but you do what you're supposed to do. There's no top-end organization of this. We do have a leader. His name's Jesus Christ. I've referred to him as Rebel Leader One. He's got a plan. Right now he's tapping men on the shoulder saying, hey, go do this, go do that. I can't put it all together. I don't know how it works. So we do our thing. We do what we're supposed to do. We get ready. We prepare. We make decisions. The deepest thing we do is we make decisions of loyalty. What's it worth to you? What's it worth to you? Will you serve God? Will you serve Jesus Christ? Is he your monarch? Is his blood worth your blood? And it's a time of sorting out. It's a time of sorting out. Where are we at? I came to a conclusion a number of years ago that there was no solution outside an utter return of Christendom to our monarch. Utter return of Christendom to our monarch, Jesus Christ. This isn't a battle that can be fought because, you know, a couple people voted this way or that way, or a couple people came to a great compromise. There is no compromise with the forces of evil. There is none. The reason we're here is because we compromised with the forces of evil, and they slaughtered us and wiped us off the board, and they've got us on the run. Christians are just happy to still be alive. I got news for you. You're not going to be alive unless this gets turned around. The slaughter has already been scheduled for you and I. It's already been scheduled. This is a historical thing. This isn't something unique for this moment. Please do not think that this is unique for this moment. The slaughter has been planned from the beginning for the people of God, that they would be utterly wiped out across the face of the earth. Why do you think the slaughter of Jesus Christ was scheduled for his birth? They couldn't get him, but they got all the other little boys under 2 years old. Why do you think there's a slaughter scheduled for Jesus Christ when he was 33 years old? Why do you think there was a slaughter scheduled for the Christians in the first century? Why do you think that was? Slaughters of Christians is as old as history itself. Why do you think Cain killed Abel? Because he was of the evil one, the Bible says. So this is an age-old struggle. It's not new. It's not unique. You're not that special, except that you're in Jesus Christ. You're special because you're in Jesus Christ. And now people are deciding, do I want to be in Jesus Christ? I want to be friends with the world. Christendom is yet again on the defensive. Christendom is on the defensive. The invaders have come. And we're on our heels. We're on our back feet. And it comes in many different forms. Number one, it comes internally, as you've got traitors. You've got the Judases. You've got the Judases in Christendom that sold out for a couple pennies, that sold out for their 30 pieces of silver. Great leaders over the last centuries have sold out, sold Christendom out, sold Jesus Christ out for their 30 pieces of silver, for their earthly fame, for their money, for their wealth, for their riches. Sold him out. Concept of Judas doesn't go away. They had Christian men that had said, you know what, I'll take my pay in this life. They collect their 30 pieces of silver and are on their way. I've said this before, but Harvard and Yale used to be to train ministers of the gospel. You've had Christian men say, you know what, it's not worth it, and they give up. They give up. And they cave in and they compromise and they accept the praise of the world. And they surrender. They get their 30 pieces of silver and they move on with life. And there's the external enemies that want nothing more than the slaughter of Christendom and the end of Christendom. So they invade and invade and invade, and they're encouraged on by the seed of the serpent. Seed of the serpent encourages them on. Yes, we need to replace these people. So it's a big circle. It's a big production. It's history in the making. Understand our part. As the hobbits trying to make the right decisions every step of the way. We don't have much fortune, much fame, much power. But there's forces waiting for us when we make the right decisions. There's forces waiting for us that are unleashed in heaven when we make the right decisions. We're not alone. Far from it. All the angels of God are witnesses to the decisions you and I make today. All the angels of God are witnesses to what men choose to do today. And they're ready, they're able, and they look for the nod from the master. They look for the nod from the master, saying, okay, go, go. When the master, when Rebel Leader One turns and gives them the nod, they're going to be unleashed to utterly destroy and wipe out our enemies. We live in an interesting time. Almost feels like we live in a moment when the dam is breaking. The world has changed dramatically in 2 years, utterly, impossibly dramatically, that one could never have imagined. Make no mistake about this. They yearn for the slaughter of Christendom, yearn for it, and they can taste the blood. But that's okay, because we're going to make decisions. I'd remind you of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Fascinating story. Out of all the tens of thousands of the sons of Israel that were captured in back then, living in this pagan culture, three men stood up and said, I'm not going to bend the knee. I'm not going to bend the knee to your pagan god. I'm not going to acknowledge that there's one order over everybody. And thank you for allowing us to have our own cultural enrichment exercises and being different by serving our God when you give us permission to. They said, we don't even acknowledge your supremacy. We don't acknowledge that you are Lord over all. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they picked him up, threw him in the furnace. Jesus Christ shows up in the furnace with them. Those are men of honor. They made a little decision. Yeah, it was a big decision, but they just said, I'm not going to bend the knee. I'm not going to bend the knee. Not going to bend the knee. I will not. Yeah, it might cost me my life, but I'm not going to bend the knee. They said, whether God saves us or not, that's a separate issue. But I'm not going to do it. Turns out they did, but not everybody does. Let's be clear about that too. God doesn't show up and rescue everybody at the last minute. He didn't with Stephen. Let us be clear about that. He didn't with Jesus Christ. He allowed Jesus Christ to be murdered on a cross. He didn't with all the prophets. They were slaughtered over the years. Jesus Christ pointed that out to the Jews. So did Stephen. Go read the book of Hebrews at chapter 11. Some men were sawn in two. They weren't rescued. But they made little decisions, and they stood fast with their decisions. And the forces of heaven were unleashed. The gospel went forward, and Europe was converted to Jesus Christ. Men stood fast fighting against the Moors in Iberia for 700 years. Men stood fast in Vienna, 1683, to stop the Muslim invasion. A lot of them died. A lot of them were slaughtered. And we are faced with the honor of making those decisions today. We're faced with the honor of being able to make those decisions. Whether they throw you into the furnace of fire or not, we have the honor of making that decision. It would be terrible to live your life and never having the honor to make that decision. And this is what life's all about. It's why we watch movies like that. And we get so thrilled when the main character makes these hard decisions to sacrifice themselves. And of course, they usually come out and they're alive and they win in the end. And that gives us great hope too. So we live vicariously. You don't have to live vicariously anymore. You can make those decisions for yourself. You can make those decisions today, now, in your own life, to be loyal to our monarch, Jesus Christ. He's not a religious leader. He's not a faith person. He's not, you know, this. It's not a talisman to give you a better life. He's a monarch. He's our monarch. He's our king. He's our father. He is our father. We have his blood in our veins. This is loyalty to our own bloodline. To serve Jesus Christ is to be loyal to your blood. This is one reason why the world tries to dispute loyalty to blood. Being loyal to our monarch is being loyal to our blood, our own blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Understand who we are. Understand that we are the chosen people. We are the holy nation. We have the blood of the King running through our veins. Be loyal to that blood. Be loyal to our King. Be loyal to our monarch. What's the worst that can happen to you? What's the worst thing they can do to you? Hebrews chapter 11. I can saw you in two. They lived in goat skins. They lived in caves in the mountains. They had bad things happen. But they had the honor in this life of making decisions to be loyal to their blood, to be loyal to Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, literally the Son of God, and living for Him, defying the world. Utterly defying the world. There is no king but Jesus Christ. He's above Caesar. Peter told that to the Roman commander. We serve another king. His name is Jesus Christ. Of course, the Jews went wild. They went crazy. You proclaim a different king. You're disloyal to Caesar. They sold out. They sold out to the earthly kings. We serve a different king. We serve Jesus Christ as monarch, as king. So enjoy those movies, and as you watch those movies, keep in mind there's something that calls to each one of us, something that calls to us to be greater than ourselves, to give our lives for others, to seek honor and glory. A great personal sacrifice. Yet when it comes down to it, it's how many people really will, how many people really do. And the glory and honor in this life is to make those little decisions to identify with the monarch, identify with the Son of God, identify with the King of Kings, and be proud of His name and proud of His words and unapologetic in any case, and do the little things that He's called you to do, to be a good dad, to be a good mom, to open up your mouth and speak. And as those little things happen, you can't see what's going on in the background. But at the end of the day, there's a great slaughter determined for the seed of the serpent. There's a great slaughter determined for the tares, who'll be torn up and cast into the fire. In this life alone, we have the honor of choosing sides when we can't see what's going on. It's by faith. So be of good courage. Make those little decisions. Dig deep. This thing changes you. Life changes you. Life is the opportunity to be changed if you just embrace it. So glory to our King, Jesus Christ. Be faithful to one another. Be faithful unto death. Things are going on. Good things are happening. Devil thinks he's got it figured out. Rebel Leader One says, you know what? You're going to even slaughter each other. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be alive. Be faithful to Him in the name of Jesus. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. See you soon.